this week, there were standards that came down from the Arts Council over at the National Retail Federation looking at ways that e-tailers should standardize how they prepare their product information for various online comparison sites. Now, there's been a lot of back and forth about some of the implications on that. Before we jump in on that, let me ask Richard Mader, who is here with us today, to give us a rundown on exactly what you've done and what the intent is, and then we'll talk on the panel about what some of the possible ramifications are. Richard, what exactly did the group try and do?
In November, members of Shop.org, the NRF division that networks around e-commerce, came to Arts and said, we have a problem. We send product information to various shopping engines, and we experience a 35 to 50% reject rate with very little feedback from the engines on exactly what happened, why our products aren't there. And we're spending an inordinate amount of time managing the products that we're posting and trying to get there so that people can buy them. Can standards help us? And so we formed a team of business experts from places like AOL, Merchant Corporation, MSN, Rethought, Rim Kaufman Group, all e-commerce experts, to define the business content. I paired them with several of our standard experts who have been in building standards with us for the past 10 years and developed standard XML format to send data to shopping engines and to have standard error messages or posting confirmations returned. The concept being that one format will make it much simpler for retailers and or their agents to communicate with multiple engines and do it very effectively, reducing the time and just consternation of trying to get things posted properly and quickly. Well, we're not sure that it can kick in this season. Though we raced for completion in October, as with any retail, whether it's in the brick or it's on the click, you don't make many changes at this time of year. But certainly we hope that folks will be experimenting with it and looking forward to using it in a dramatic way in the January-February time frame once they've gone through the rather exciting Christmas season. We do look for good adoption. The key question being, of course, how many of the shopping engines will actually adopt the format so that the agents and retailers will be able to send in this proposed standard. We certainly think MSN will because they helped build it. We certainly think AOL will because they were actually the beta test site. And we are planning a program over the next 2 months where we will work with engines, agents, and retailers to obtain commitments, to be able to explain our standard in a little more detail, to show the actual benefits of it, and to have them commit. It's kind of like getting a snowball rolling downhill. Once you get two or three engines committing, a few retailers come along, and then you get another engine to come along. And we hope by the time we reach Christmas season in 2007, that it'll have a huge impact, okay, on the business.
Patty, let me pull you into this for a moment. What is your take on the likely reaction to this effort?
Data integrity, as well as data inconsistency, is a perennial problem within the retail world. Regardless of what you're talking about, but product information is not consistent from industry to industry, from retailer to retailer, from manufacturer to manufacturer. So it is really very difficult to have any kind of standard that is going to have an impact. However, what the standard, as I understand it, has to do is the method of delivery. And if this really is something that allows retailers to get a better hit rate in the products that they can actually get accepted by a comparison engine or a search engine or any other kind of location that they might feed, as well as make it easier and more cost-effective for the engines to accept without losing any kind of their competitive advantage, which really doesn't seem likely that they would, you've got a win-win on both sides, and hopefully, you know, eventually the customer wins out because they get broader product assortments, they get more ubiquitous product assortments, they get more complete product information, hopefully, because now everyone is more clear about what the data fields are structured as and what information goes in there so that they can get more complete information. So it seems to me that standardization within this realm is a very positive thing for both sides.
The first standard is the format and what information elements need to be included in that format. Perhaps as we go down the road, we'll be able to work on and maybe even suggest like standards in the area of product classifications,
yeah.
Or maybe standards in terms of some of the other pieces of information. We don't help at this point with data integrity. We help in the format and in that the content requested is there.
Yeah, and you know what, Richard, I think that's exactly right, because you got to start somewhere, right? And this is
exactly.
A place where you can succeed, I think.
Right.
It is in everyone's vested interest to be the same in this regard, and it really doesn't have any kind of competitive impact at all. Whereas in the other realms, there's not a lot of reason to comply. Why should I make my product data look like anybody else's? Mine's unique and individual, and I want my own secret way of doing things. And so it's harder in other arenas to get people to comply. But if you see a success rate, you see a cost effectiveness, you'll start to see, I think, a groundswell of let's try and approach this method in other areas of our data problems, because everybody feels that pain. As you mentioned earlier, everybody feels the pain of the data issues that they're facing, and it's really not getting any better. It's actually getting more complex because they have data coming not only from their product catalog, but now from the customer catalogs and from multiple sources within that, and they're trying to actually get it to be all consistent within one location, and that's a very difficult thing to do, and retailers are struggling greatly, and they really don't want to spend an inordinate amount of money to make this all talk together and make it all useful, but in fact, that's what it's looking like they're going to do. So if we have some areas that at least are standardized where there is, once you actually make the change to standardize, then of course you can leverage the investment over time, and there is actually a cost savings over time as well, then, you've got a really great step forward to helping ease their pain in a broader scale.
We are an XML standard, which means we've changed the underpinning technology, and that was critical, as we all remember, or perhaps some of us remember, from when EDI first came out and went to ANSI X12. You have to have a consistent technology as well to eliminate just some of the basic underlying pain before you start talking about the data.
Now, it's a great place to be. Virtually all retailers.
We were actually surprised when we began to work with a lot of the e-commerce people and found that they weren't indeed already using XML, because we consider it, of course, the language of the internet.
Right. Exactly. So it's interesting. So this is good. This will force that much more adoption on that really applicable technology.
There has been a long-standing issue behind the scenes of some of this, which is that a variety of retailers have not been offering consistent, precise product descriptions, certainly not SKUs on the products, making it difficult for some product comparison sites to truly do apples-to-apples comparisons. And there have been those who have suggested that some retailers have been doing this deliberately, since it's not in their best interest necessarily to have it be that transparent.
Some of this may be deliberate. There's two issues here that I see. The first is the chicken and egg issue. The retailer says, why should I spend money, time, and energy coming up with standards unless the search engines are going to be looking for them? And the search engines say, well, why should I spend time developing a search engine that looks for stuff unless the retailers have put it in? So it seems like by getting enough of the search engines, the larger ones, on board, you tend to solve that chicken and egg problem. The second issue is this idea that this is necessarily a good thing for all people. One of the problems with standards is once they're set and adopted, they become somewhat rigid and very difficult to change. And we don't necessarily know that we can anticipate all the needs of the marketplace in the future. So, for example, when you end up with a convergent device, something that's a telephone, a computer, and a cell phone, and, it's five different things in one, somebody searching for only one of those components might not find this because it's listed as, a television. And so one of the problems we have is that the marketplace changes so quickly and the products change so quickly, and because it may be difficult to code what the product actually is and who the market for it is.
And that is a good comment relative to standards. And I think some standards groups have learned from past mistakes like that, such that in the art standards process, we're continually looking for change. Our website is open for public comment, and we do periodically revise many of our standards. Our data model, which is now 12 years old, continues to change once a year with an update, just like you might expect from your, you know, software application provider. But we do it in a controlled manner so that we don't make or force change on people who already have the older versions in place.
The idea that you know, some retailers will manipulate their listings in order to be not compared directly with, you know, unfavorable comparisons, you know, if this standardization actually prevents them from doing it, then they're going to have to find other ways to market their products, and in fact, that's probably a good thing for the customer in the long run. And it potentially is a good thing for the retailer in the long run, because they're not focusing on gaming the system, and they're actually focusing on things that are much more effective for them.
Let me pull Kathy into this just for a moment. Kathy, what is your take on any of this? How much of an impact do you think it'll have?
It's clearly needed. If you get together with retailers and ask them how clean their data is, either within their own company or in partnership with others, they'll tell you it's kind of shaky. So any steps that the industry can take that will help standardize the flow of information between parties is a huge improvement.
Probably that's why master data management has taken on a bit, not quite as much emphasis in the retail community yet as it has in other industries. But master data management, trying to clean up and get one version of the truth for key information like product, like customer, like vendor, is really a significant move now in IT. And thankfully, it is catching on in the retail world as well. And we only have to plug that ARTS has a guideline out there for master data management available on our website.